I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, Halima.
Hi, Ione.
And hello to the listeners. Welcome to the Polyester Podcast. I'm Ione. I'm the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester and author of Poor Little Sick Girls.
And I'm Halima, the community editor of Polyester Zine and the co-host of the Polyester Podcast.
This is a Sleepover Club episode, a feminist pop culture podcast. We pull apart the hashtag discourse in the hope of making some sense of it all.
Before we get started, please like, rate, review and subscribe. Ione, do we have any reviews to read out this week?
We don't. Sorry.
It's fine.
Not awkward at all.
No. This week, me and Ione are recording with a live studio audience.
Of Rodrigo, our beautiful tech assistant.
Yes, he's here today.
He's here today in the room. Yeah. This is our first time recording in person ever together. Mm-hmm. Me and Olivia used to record in person together.
Hi, Olivia.
What are we talking about today, or what are we talking about before we get started in talking about today?
As we all know, on Monday night, it was leaked by Politico that the Supreme Court have drafted an opinion or drafted a legislation to highlight that the court's conservative majority has privately voted to overturn Roe versus Wade. And that means if the ruling is overturned, abortion will be immediately inaccessible in at least 26 states in the United States.
Yes. Yeah. Awful. Bad times. So we're not covering that this week because obviously the news was quite swift, unexpected. Well, partly unexpected. Obviously, there have been hints of this for ages. But we have done, well, Halima has done a newsletter this week.
I have. Well, I did a little newsletter all about, you know, the document, but also the fact that this is not just an American issue. We have issues with abortion still in this country and in Northern Ireland and in Ireland. For those who got the newsletter, there are links to abortion funding networks that you can support and links to the abortion support network in this country where you can support people who seek abortion and even house them in your house for those who can't access abortions where they live. But we'll also add those links to the bottom of the podcast.
And how do you sign up for the newsletter if you want to? Is it supporters or everyone?
It's mostly supporters, but I send it off to everyone.
Okay. So everything's on our website.
Yeah.
And we also have our reproductive justice zine, which we still have some copies of. So we're going to work to get those back up on the shop with all of the money going towards different abortion funds and causes like charities, whatever, that are working with that. So, yeah, more to come. Halima, on to the topic. What are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about Instagram and if Instagram is dead and if it's currently in its flop era.
Instagram is in its flop era. So the reason why we're talking about this topic, we were thinking about this topic is because a few weeks ago, well, every couple of weeks, obviously me and Halima and also the other girls on the team, like Eden and Charlotte and Gina Tonic, sit down and we're like, what the hell are we going to talk about? And obviously recently on the podcast, we've been doing a lot about trends that have emerged from TikTok. And it kind of got me thinking, when was the last time a trend came from Instagram? When was the last time Instagram was culturally relevant? What do you think?
When I was doing some research on it, there's some surveys that have been done about the use of Instagram. And one of them is from 2021. And it's a survey from the financial service firm Piper Sandler. And it found that only 22% of teenagers said Instagram was their favorite social media platform, coming third after Snapchat and TikTok. Firstly, who the fuck is using Snapchat?
I remember using it when it first came about, when I was 18 or something. But I think it's really interesting because Instagram used to be such a thing. That's obviously really badly explained, but in that, like, Instagram used to be the place that you went to for culture, like finding photographers, designers, illustrators, artists. And it's weird because it just is culturally void now. Like, I follow the same people I followed for like my 8 years of being on the platform, probably. I tried to make a really big concerted effort, like during lockdown and through lockdowns, where I was like, why do I just not follow anyone new? I think the saved feature really changed that, whereas I wasn't following people anymore. I just save like one piece of their work, and then when I was looking for a specific thing, I'd go back to it. I don't know why it's like, I think it's interesting too, because obviously I'm not old, but I'm old in Halima world.
Yeah.
And so I've been through a fair few like social media platforms. Like, the first one I ever got was MySpace when I was in year 7, and then Bebo, and then Facebook, Tumblr, which were kind of at the same time, and then Instagram. But it's been Instagram for like the same amount of time that I went through all of those five platforms. Do you know what I mean? Like, within 8 years, I went through all of those platforms is the time I've had Instagram. And I think loads of people think or say like, oh, we're going to move on to the next thing. Like, we're going to jump ship and move on to like TikTok or whatever it is. There's not like a mass exodus of these platforms anymore. We're really hesitant to give them up.
Yeah. What was it like? Anything to know from like a historical past standpoint? What was it like to have Bebo and MySpace?
I'm going to fucking kill you.
Honest, real question, because I've never used it. I've never been on there.
Are you joking?
I'm being dead ass with you right now. Even though I'm using my little coy voice, I'm being dead ass. I've actually never, I didn't have them when I was a kid.
You made me feel sick.
Period.
You had Tumblr.
I had Tumblr. Yeah, I didn't ask you about Tumblr, did I? I said Bebo. I said Bebo and whatever the other one was called.
Okay, well, what do you want to know?
I don't know. What was it like? What was the purpose of Bebo and MySpace? Is it similar to
It's the same
to,
as
like...
Facebook.
Oh, okay. So, well, Bebo is the same as Facebook, or MySpace is the same as Facebook.
Both are the same as Facebook.
So Facebook copied MySpace and Bebo.
Kind of.
Okay.
That's as far as I'm getting.
Okay. I'll look after my own time.
Well, I suppose, how do you... Let's switch. The tables have turned. How the turntables. How does it feel that you have essentially grown up with the same social media platform your whole life?
It feels... I find it interesting talking about Instagram being dead, because it feels like an unmovable platform in my head. Like, these
right.
platforms... I guess I saw Tumblr like become less popular, but it's Tumblr isn't the same as Instagram and Twitter. Instagram and Twitter feel like brother and sister. Like, it feels like, yeah, they're like family. They just feel like they're like Tumblr and Twitter and Instagram feel like they just are unmovable. Like, they seem to be like the main places that people are on. So like, to talk about it being dead, I don't think it's dying, because I don't think it can go anywhere. I don't know if that, does that make sense? I know I saw Tumblr kind of lose relevance, but I don't know. I just don't think they're the same in what they do for people.
Also, everyone gets really angry at us when we say Tumblr is dead. So I'm sorry if you're still on Tumblr. I'm sorry for you.
I'm still on Tumblr. So guys, I'm part of your community.
Well, no, I think it's really interesting that basically we feel, what's the word? Like, we feel as though these platforms are in debt to us, if that makes sense. Like, I think our attitude to Twitter in particular, I don't know, I have a weird relationship with Twitter. I don't really like it, and I don't really use it. Like, I use it to look. I don't use it to tweet. What?
I just found it funny whenever, like, the fact that you're not on Twitter, but you know, like, every single tweet that has been on there, because you're always on the web app.
I am a cultural observer.
Yes.
But I think, like, you know, when Elon bought Twitter.
Our friend Elon, using his first name.
I know. I read an article once about how it's actually really bad it was in the context of Boris Johnson, like, you know how everyone calls him Boris.
Or Bojo.
Yeah. Like, how it's really damaging because what's the word?
Like, I don't know, normalizes them. Like, we're not their pals. Like, they are awful, evil people. We should call them by their full government names.
I don't know about you. I am actually friends with Elon Musk.
Oh, God, purr. What's going on with him and Grimes then?
Anyway, so I just thought it's so weird how, like, these people's extreme reactions to Elon Musk buying Twitter, like, being like...
Jamila leaving Twitter.
yeah, exactly. People leaving Twitter, acting as if they're owed something by these giant tech platforms. What was that? Did you watch that Netflix documentary last year that everyone like went bananas about, that was basically just exposing everything we already knew about like algorithms and
how... the social media one?
Yeah.
I didn't want to feel like I couldn't go on those apps anymore, so I did not watch it.
That is toxic. That is so toxic.
I willingly abstained from watching.
Right, okay. So, yeah, I thought it's really interesting that like when Elon Musk bought Twitter last week or whatever it was, that people just felt so personally affronted, like as if Elon Musk had come into their house and stolen their cat and then taken it away from them. I think it's largely unhealthy in many ways. I also think it's a very tricky thing to like discuss, because obviously social media has got so much bigger since like MySpace or Bebo or whatever. They are part of like the infrastructure of our lives now, not just like a quirky, like cool thing that we're all trying out to make friends. I think it's a tough one as well, because like in terms of Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and the influence they have, like people have been trying to get regulation or whatever, but do we want a government to also regulate social media when we don't trust our governments? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you. I feel like I understand why people had such a like a defensive, like with even Jamila Jamil leaving Twitter. I get it to a certain extent, especially when it comes to these, like Twitter is where I learned feminism. It's like, I know a lot of people learned it from Tumblr, but Twitter is where I learned it. And I feel like it's for a lot of people and for a lot of marginalized people, it's, I mean, though organizing online is like, is iffy because you're obviously monitored, but it is where a lot of people like just like discovered their politics. And it was a place that felt like, I don't want to say radical, but it felt like a place where, like, to really discuss social politics and to teach people to learn things. It did feel like that when I was a teenager. So I think I get like the massive reactions or the feelings of like, somebody's literally stolen my cat. Like, do you know what I mean? I actually get it, because like, it did feel like a hopeful place once upon a time to log in and see like that stuff. So I mean, I get it's such I mean, I don't know, I get it, if that makes sense.
Is that not just the whole of the internet though? Like, I feel like if you're directly comparing Twitter to Instagram, for example, like as two platforms that are undergoing big changes or whatever, that one's like, people are consistently talking about how Instagram isn't good anymore. It's like Twitter, everyone, like no one really had complaints about the platform as it was, like its format or the way it pushed advertising or like example stuff like this. Like, it felt like arguments were more like curated around who you follow, like, oh, you're in your own echo chamber, blah blah blah, like not actually how the platform fed you that content. Whereas with, so it feels like with someone like Elon Musk coming in, it's like a short sharp shock of like, oh, this thing we like is actually bad or it's going to become bad. Whereas Instagram has been like kind of like a rotting apple for 10 years.
Well, Instagram, I don't know. It's interesting because I went on a short social media hiatus a couple of weeks ago where I left for 4 days. And it changed me, because I feel like I could let go of Twitter, but I don't think I could let go of like Instagram, because I still actually like casually now delete Twitter from my phone, but I haven't done that with Instagram. Because interestingly enough, I cannot fucking stand the discourse on Twitter. I hate it so fucking much. Especially with the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp stuff. Like, I hate it so fucking much. I hated the Will Smith shit. I just didn't want to see anything. So my brain, I feel like my brain is melting when I am on Twitter. I feel that less when I'm on Instagram, interestingly enough. But I think it might also be because I follow less people who make me want to kill myself on Instagram. Just to be honest.
I think it's weird with Instagram as well, because Instagram kind of, so to make the direct comparison again, like Twitter has never been a shopping app. Like, it's, I find it to be kind of just like a cesspit of media types. And I'm saying this as a media type, but it's never really pushed kind of, yeah, shopping or like whatever as a primary agenda. Whereas Instagram kind of has slowly become that. And I feel like it's a bit more insidious in that way, because it pulled from creators to make the platform that, in that it saw lots of like small creators turning their Instagrams into a business. Like, I'm not talking about influencers, you know, I'm talking about like an artist that makes prints or like someone that makes custom clothing or whatever. And then they were like, oh, we should be a shop. And obviously that combined with influencer culture, I know it says in your research that influencer culture might actually be one of the reasons why Instagram is down.
No? Yeah, people hate it.
Yeah.
Because like they're just like, that is the most annoying thing about Instagram. I don't follow many influencers, but like the fact that they really are just, every post is them selling you stuff, but then trying to make it seem casual. Or you know what I really fucking don't like? And this might be controversial, but there are some of those mini like influencers who, and they're creatives or whatever, and they have accidentally fallen into this like influencer role, and it's now making them cash. So you see that they like, they're posting these ads, and like every other post on their story is like, please interact with this because blah blah blah, please interact with this blah blah. Instagram.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Feels like a, and this is what maybe Twitter is even better, because Instagram does feel like a chore now. Like, it feels like, I don't know. I mean, I understand, like, supporting small creators, and I think that's a good thing, but it feels like it's annoying that everybody is selling me something on there now when I don't want to be sold anything.
I feel like nothing on Instagram feels organic. Like, yeah, in that way we feel in debt, like in that way that we feel these platforms owe us something. Like, whether it comes from like the fact we have the expectation of them treating us fairly, or like, you know, come up against censorship and then think that, like, you know, it's very morally bad, which it is. It kind of goes down to creators too. It's like, if you enjoy my content, then like my sponsor content, because that's how I make my other content. And it's kind of like this weird guilt trip.
And I get it, because like people need to eat. So like, please keep doing that. But it's just like, it's a lot when you see it on every single post. Like, I purposely don't follow influencers because I don't want to be sold everything. But now every artist
is an influencer,
has fallen into an influencer category, even though they don't want to be.
So then also, obviously, a reaction to that was photo dumps.
Oh, yes. I love a photo dump, though.
You do. What was yours last week? Dump. Like, food and friends.
Oh, my God. Yeah. My last week was food and friends. Because I was like, I haven't posted. Okay, so I like this new casual approach to Instagram, because, like, I used to feel like I always had to, like, perform on there, like, with everybody. I guess all of it's still a performance. But it felt like more of a heightened performance when I was younger. So I posted very rarely, and I was like, but I actually like sharing those, like, those moments and those memories. So like when photo dumps came up, I was like, oh, I can just post anything as long as it kind of matches like the look of my feed, which it generally does. My feed is gorgeous and colorful and bright.
But this just reminds me as well, because like, I've never really thought of like, obviously like the polyester Instagram is a whole other kettle of fish, but on my, why did I just say kettle of fish? It's a whole other kettle of fish. But on my personal Instagram, like, I've never thought about that stuff. And then did you see what Kim Kardashian did last week on her stories? Because she was getting called out for like editing her belly button out of a Skims picture, which she didn't. It was just high-waisted. But anyway, so then she was like lol, look at these other Photoshop fails. And do you remember on TikTok it was going around that she edited what's Chloe's baby called? Dream? That she edited Dream into a photo of Chicago at Disneyland. And she kind of like then admitted it. But in admitting it, she was like, oh, it's because I like curate my feed to be pink and blue. Like I love pink and blue. I prize aesthetic over anything. Also the use of the word aesthetic, like as I don't even know what type of word that is very grating and not correct. But anyway, big sigh. I kind of forgot that people like do curate their feed to be a certain color scheme all the time, or like just like, yeah, I only have pink and blue images and like blah 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 blah. I just think that's wild. And I think that also applies to photo dumps, because the Kardashians try and do that now too. Like, do you remember the pictures of Kim and Pete like eating pizza after the premiere? But photo dumps have become as cynical as like the highly edited, highly poised selfie IMO. Like I was on TikTok and it was like, I don't know, it was like looking at an influencer's Instagram. It was TikTok that was looking at an influencer's Instagram, and it was like, oh, look at this photo of like a fucking cigarette butt next to a plate of pasta. Oh, it just looks like it's just been like, you know, snap and go. But really, if you want to make your pictures look like this, you have to do this, 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 and had like a 10-point guide. It's like, oh my god. And I didn't see anything wrong in like a highly curatorial or like quote unquote fake approach to Instagram, but I think we're all trying to pretend it's not when it is.
Defo. I think, just, I have 2 points. With the Kardashian thing, Kim was talking out of her fucking arse when she did that, because she was being sued by Black China. So she was just doing things to divert attention. Around that time. Because that post about Dream and Chicago or whatever, that Photoshop thing happened, what, in the summer? Like, it happened months ago. She literally randomly brought it up because Black China's suing her ass that same week. So she's just using it as a distraction technique. I just want to bring that up.
But Black China lost because she put a gun to Rob's head.
Did she?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the full tea. I just know that that week something else was happening and she was trying to distract from that matter. But that's really fucking weird though. Black China did that. Anyway, you say that you don't curate your feed, but your feed looks curated.
But I don't. I do in so much as like I take the type of photos that I take. Mm-hmm.
But is that not a curation?
But it's not like I need red, then I need pink, then I need white, then I need pink, but then I don't need red.
I think that that is a type of curation though. I mean, it doesn't have to just be colors.
I think that's a very galaxy brain take.
What does that mean?
Like, you're blowing my mind. As in, certain people just take certain type of photos.
Yeah, and that's a curation.
But I would prefer, but as in like, for example, I prefer the attitude of like, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to take a selfie because I want it to go on my Instagram, rather than being like, I'm going to dinner, so I'm going to try and find like some cherry blossom on the street. And then like a month later, I'm going to post it with a picture of my shoe and a picture of my glasses and a picture of my friend.
That's crazy. I know people definitely think of it like that, but I think that's crazy. People do that. But I just think that, like, that's not the only mode of curation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I take your point.
Yeah, because when I look at your Instagram, I'm like, because everything seems to match on your Instagram.
Because I'm a person with a cohesive personal brand.
She's a curator. But yeah, that's curation, babe.
Yeah, but it's not as in, like, I'm not sitting there with tiles being like, I need this to go with this to go with
no,
that.
No, yeah, yeah, that's
like,
that's,
I don't delete extreme something from my feed because it doesn't match the rest.
Oh, okay. Okay, now you're making your point. Okay. Because sometimes I'm like that. I'm very much like, don't know if that matches my feed, so I'll delete.
I don't do that because you're the only one that looks at your feed, like, true, your grid.
True, true.
Anyway, but moving on. What I think that I was finding interesting when I was thinking of like the fact that Instagram is basically dying a slow death and has been for a very, very long time, is that it seems like really only in the last 6 months that people, i.e. brands, influencers that are like native on Instagram, anyone with power in the realm of social media basically, has taken TikTok seriously as a medium, as a platform.
Gen Z do not fuck with Instagram. I don't think they fuck with Instagram. I think the generation below me really don't fuck with Instagram. Like, I think they, like, TikTok is their main domain. Do you remember Musical.ly?
No.
Musical.ly was right before TikTok. Like, it was, like, Vine, Musical.ly, TikTok.
Is that the one where
Jacob Sagittarius got really big on Musical.ly.
No.
You don't know who Jacob Sagittarius is? My main squeezers will know who Jacob Sagittarius is.
Yeah, but as in, I think it's interesting because there is like way more culture happening on TikTok, but we still, like, when you're talking to people, whether it's like journalists or brand people or on TV, like Lorraine on her show.
It's such an Ione fucking reference.
But it's always just like, haha, TikTok, we don't take that seriously. And I think we do need to like harness the power of social media as like a cultural place. Because like the worst thing social media can be is like homogenous and a shopping app. It basically, like, Instagram is all the worst things a social media app can be. And any new platform has potential. TikTok has not had a good start. Like, I was, for example, really cautious of putting polyester on TikTok because of the, like, do you remember that news that came out really early about it? That was basically that, like, it shadow banned fat or disabled, yeah, or like poor, in inverted commas, poor looking creators because they weren't aspirational.
I did not hear that last part, but I heard the other part, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Have you ever bought anything on Instagram?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've never bought anything from
Instagram. Directly from Insta, like, not through the shop bit.
Okay. But I wonder if anybody uses that shop bit, because, like...
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, for example, when I was looking at... Because basically, obviously, I have the accounts I follow, which are, like, a variety of people. But then I feel like the Explore page, which I don't look at very often, is heavily geared towards, like, consumables. So my Explore page is all nails and clothes. And then I use the shopping bit quite a lot because it's not perfect, like it's not great, but most of the time it just feeds me small brands and a lot of the time that do plus sizes and like fat sizes. So it's useful for me in that way. So I have found brands through the shopping bit, but it's not something I look at all the time. Like, for example, because I'm looking at an outfit for my book launch at the moment, then I'll go on it and be like, oh, is there anything here? But it's not something I use like every day.
I've never used it. I've never shopped from Instagram before. I kind of just ignore the fact that it's like there's a bit I'm meant to buy from. I just ignore it. Like, it doesn't, I just ignore it. Like, I've never had the desire. But I'm also going to say, I think I feel like TikTok always try and sell me more things than Instagram.
I agree. Because they've basically implemented
those ads in the middle of.
Not even the ads, the lives. Have you seen them? They're like QVC style lives, like shopping channel style lives.
I haven't seen them.
I get them every single one of my lives is either like someone selling like cuddly toys or Shop Cider and like fast fashion brands essentially do like shopping channels on TikTok for live. And I always get them. And then obviously I get the ads for like the sunset lamps and like
two bots.
I did. I have two. And then also, have you seen that one that's like, this is a digital camera that looks like a film camera? I get that one all the time.
TikTok is lucky that they're funny, because I find the fact that they sell me stuff so abrasive that it's fucking annoying. But that's interesting though, because it actually is really aggressively trying to sell you things on TikTok, whereas I don't think it's as aggressive on Instagram. But I feel like because Instagram have that like embedded shopping bit, they have detracted from the fact that like they were just a place where people could like curate a look, but now it's like, or curate their identity even, which is, I guess, their main objective was for you to share and like perform a certain type of way and perform your identity online. But it feels less like that now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but surely, I'm not defending the shopping, but surely like they see it as an extension of that, because then if you're like, I'm curating who I follow, who I like, blah, 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 and now I can buy them.
I guess. That's so gross.
Whereas with TikTok, I find it slightly odd because all of those things I just mentioned are like random shit, also really unethical shit. Yeah. Whereas at least Instagram is showing me like the small designers that are like maybe making handmade or whatever.
Then why do we prefer TikTok to Instagram?
Because it's fine.
I guess. I had a TikTok phase when I deleted my Twitter because I was like, you know, this is the new platform I'm using. And now I'm slowly removing myself from TikTok because I find it really annoying now. But so, yeah, don't know why. Yeah, no other point than that.
I think over a certain period of time in, like, if we are taking those first 10 years of social media, people do just need to flock to something new. Like, it does get stale after a while. But I find our insistence to throw out Instagram probably is, like, stunting us culturally.
What do you mean?
like the fact that we're still like lots of people, whether you're an artist or a brand or whatever, because I know on TikTok the thing all the time is like, if you're a musician on TikTok, like you're catering to TikTok music. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like A&R is always looking for the next TikTok music star or whatever. But I feel like on Instagram, like if you're a artist, you're making work for Instagram. Do you know what I'm saying? Like stuff that you know will pop off on that platform. So if you're doing that for like 7 years, you're not pushing yourself to make anything new. And if we are now forced into like a capitalist cycle of making things to appease to social media algorithms that give us an audience, then depressingly, one of the only ways out of that is to switch platforms.
Yeah. But even you mentioning the fact that like people do like consistently try and push their music on like places like TikTok, that's just another example of like, even though music is a bit different because you enjoy music or whatever, but like again,
speak for yourself.
But again, like, yeah, you're so right. Like, I don't know, TikTok, I just find TikTok more aggressive when it comes to selling than any other platform.
But I think that's because they're selling you like so obvious shit that you would see on like a high street. Whereas like there's different ways to sell things. Like an artist, like what you were saying, an artist is constantly selling themselves.
Yeah. I don't know. Fuck Elon Musk, if that wasn't clear.
Well, we've run out of time.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that in case people are like, oh,
Elon. He's actually my friend though, so.
Oh my fucking God.
He's not really. Please no one come for me. Thank you, Halima.
Thanks, Ayani. Sorry if this was like, I don't know. It was the first time we're doing it in person. I feel nervouser.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay. fair enough, but you did great.
Transparency.
Thank you to Rodrigo for looking after us.
Thanks, Rodrigo.
Thank you to Olivia for editing this episode. Thank you to you all for listening to this episode. Thank you to Gina and Gina, Charlotte and Eden, Hattie, Grace.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. It's time you did something wrong.